I don't see no difference in the faith that we believe. We believe the same thing. If you believe the Bible, how can you go wrong? The Bible is the Word of God, and this is something that we agree on. We agree on the doctrines of grace. We agree on all the things that the Bible teaches. I hope that I'll be a blessing to you, and I thank you, brethren, for coming by and shaking my hand and said, I'm praying for you. Amen. You never can pray too much for me, and I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to start reading at verse 36, reading down through the remainder of the chapter. And in this portion of Scripture, you know, this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. You know that as well as I do. Verses 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, I like to use the word because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unto-regeneration. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And they came upon every soul, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and said there and sold their possessions and gave their goods and parted them with all men every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness of and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I know that's not new to you. I don't have anything new, because God's Word says the same thing. I want to use this as my subject this evening. The church at Jerusalem, an example and pattern for the Baptist churches today. And it is, of course, the church at Antioch of Assyria. Now, when we think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say to you that if God had a plan, and he had a plan for Adam and Eve, if God had a plan for Adam and Eve, then God had a plan for Noah. If God had a plan for Noah during the flood, and God had a plan for Isaac and Jacob, and God had a plan for Joseph, and the sovereign God really worked in Joseph's life, didn't he? Then God had a plan for Israel. Would God any less today not have a plan for his churches that he had the disciples in first? It don't make sense that we would have disciples and God chose them and God put them first in the church. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 28, he set the apostles first in the church. Yeah. Now, I realize, and I went to Bible school, I went to college, and every college and every Bible school that I attended, they said, you know, the church started on the day of Pentecost. Well, you know, I disagree with that, and I'm going to try to show from the Scriptures that blessed truth tonight. Amen. Because I don't believe it started on that day. I believe it was already in existence. And so God has a plan for his churches today. If you are in a member of this church, God has a plan for your life and for your family in this church. Every member that we have at Grace Baptist Church in Holly, Michigan, I teach them that God has a plan for you or you wouldn't be here. And if you will fulfill your responsibility and obligation, God will bless you for that. Amen. And not only will He bless you, He will bless your family. One thing that I do claim upon the authority of God's word, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, he said, when he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I claim that promise. I've got 10 grandchildren, 5 boys and 5 girls, and I've got 3 children, and God has blessed me beyond measure. I thank God for that. And it's great to know that God does bless us, and we realize that. And so this is the thing. And so the church at Jerusalem, the first church, if we're going to have a church, we need to have it like the Bible teaches us. I just don't understand why people that reads the same Bible that you and I read and cannot understand what the Bible says about the church. I just don't understand it. I cannot conceive of anybody not understanding what the Word of God says. If you read it and believe it, and they'll always tell you they believe it, but they don't carry through with the Word of God. I got an article from Harlingen, Texas. A brother in the church had stayed down there, and he brought me an article from the newspaper in Harlingen, Texas. And this man, I want to quote to what you said, what he said in that newspaper. This brother from Harlingen, Texas said, all Baptist churches that are true churches should pattern the local visible church after the example in faith and practice as the first church, after the example, of course. Now, I don't believe, and there's one thing that I don't believe. I don't believe in the common supply house. I don't believe that we have to sell our property and give it to the church. I don't believe that. I don't believe God has required us to do that. But I think I realize in reading the scriptures, I think perhaps, maybe supposition on my part, but I think I realize why they sold their property and give it to the church. We just read where there was 3,000 souls saved, and we also read that there was about 16 or 17 nations represented on the day of Pentecost. And I want to tell you, when they got saved, I don't believe they went back home. I don't know what you believe, but I don't believe they went back home. And I'll tell you why. They sold their goods and gave it to those people, and they supplied those people with those clothing and food and shelter for the widows. And by the way, they had to choose 7 deacons and ordain them in Acts chapter 6 that they would be able to distribute it, that the apostles could study the Word of God and preach the gospel to them. Amen. Now, I think it's understandable this has happened. And this is my thought on that. Now, I'm not interested in starting a social gospel. I know today many churches in Flint, Michigan, who are worship centers, they're going to advertise in the Flint Journal, you come Sunday and we're going to give you some coats and we're going to give you some clothes and we're going to give you some shoes. What about giving the gospel? Amen. What about preaching the Word of God to them? Amen. You can feed a man all you want to, and if he doesn't receive Christ as his personal Savior, he's going to go to hell anyway. Amen. But if you preach the gospel to him in his truth and purity and allow the Holy Spirit to bring life to that dead person, then you'll realize how important it is to preach the Word of God. Missionaries can tell you that. I know Brother Tweet, Brother Draper has been a friend of mine for many years. Brother Tweet, too. I remember when he first came to Sterling Heights. I remember. And so we realize. But we want to notice some things. What did these Christians do? Now, you can thank God for the Jews. Let me say to you preachers and missionaries, don't go to another church and say what a missionary said in the church that I pastor. Now, it was meant for a joke, but it didn't come off as a joke. This preacher got up and said, do you know why there are no Jew preachers? And of course, there was no response. He says, there's no money in preaching. We had a Jew lady in the church that came to me the next day and said, "Hey, she's not a Jew, she's a Christian." These men that were saved on the day of Pentecost, they were no longer Jews, they were Christians. Amen. They held their identity as Hebrews or Israelites, but they're no longer Jews. The Judaism religion is dead today, and it was at that time when Christ comes into your heart. Amen. And I said, "Don't go to another church and say that." That lady said to me, "I could become offended at that." And I understand that. I'm not going to try to be offensive to nobody. I don't want to offend anyone. But if the Word of God offends, I make no apology for it. But we don't have to say those things. I've had preachers come in and say some things that just, that I had to come back and explain and cover over. Why cannot we speak graciously, mercifully, and why can't we not leave it to God? I have no access to grind. Those new apostles, they didn't have no access to grind, and they didn't have any hobby horses to ride. But there's one thing they centered on, and that was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit filled them that day, and they were a ball of fire. You can see when 3,000 souls get saved, that's a pretty good number added to the church. Amen. And that is great. And we realize that. And so we need to be sound in everything that we teach. And we need to do that. The Bible says they gave themselves wholly and unreservedly unto the Lord. I believe that we Christians and church pastors and members of churches can learn some things from this chapter. I believe that we realize how important it is to preach the Word of God in His truth and purity, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the saving, convicting and saving. And I know there's too much pastor salvation and too much church salvation and too much water baptism salvation, and none of that is scriptural. Only what the Holy Spirit does in the by the Word of God is going to bring results. And it's very obvious today that someone has missed the mark in this world that we live in today, and especially in our day and time. And so they just don't realize the importance of it. Now, secondly, this morning, every man's mind was on the church and Jesus Christ. They did it daily. They did it daily. And this is what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Do you know one thing we can do is we can pray. Pray. Spend some time and pray. Do you know, if you go back to chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, 14, 15 and 16, they prayed for 10 days because the Lord said in the book of Acts chapter 1 verses 8 and 9, He said that after the Holy Spirit comes upon you and empowers you to preach the Word of God. And they went out and done exactly what the Lord told them to do. And then he was ascended up to heaven. Amen. And so we need empowerment today. Our churches need empowerment. I don't think we're going to get any empowerment until we pray. And they tarried for 10 days. That was 50 days that they waited after Christ's resurrection. He had a post-resurrection ministry of 40 days. And then He ascended up and He said to the Holy Spirit, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come." And so He went away and He sent the Comforter. What a helper He is to you and I. What a blessing He is to your church. What a blessing He is to your heart. What a blessing He is to your family. Now, the Holy Spirit is not like some people think the Holy Spirit is. And I say to the church members, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God right here. He indwells you. He knows everything that you do. He knows everything that you say. He knows everywhere you go. He does. If you carry God with you, the Holy Spirit, you know He knows. I was just I teach a doctrine class. I have 10 students in my doctrine class. And 6 of them are not members of the church. I'm teaching. There's 4 members, but 2 are just new converts. And the rest of them are from, I don't know why they come, but I'm sure glad they did.
Amen.
Now, you cannot preach the gospel without preaching doctrine.
Amen.
You cannot teach doctrine without preaching the gospel.
Amen.
That's very important.
Amen.
And that's important that we realize that. And I thank God for the opportunity, for the privilege. I've been at the church. I talked to Brother, what's your name, Brother? Brother Sexton. That's what I was going to say, and I said, I don't want to say it wrong. I haven't seen him for 20 years. We used to fellowship in Michigan 20 years ago. I told him, I said, you're a little older, but I'm a lot older. And it's been a long time since I saw him. And they were right behind me going through the line, food line. And I'm glad to make new fellowship, renew our acquaintances. And for you brethren that I've just met, some of you I've never seen before. It's not that I won't come back, but I just never come back. Come down here. There's always a reason or excuse, but we like to do that. Now, so every apostle's mind was centered on that. They didn't have any hobby horses. They didn't have any axes to grind. And we realize how important it is. They seem to have lost their interest in everything but Jesus Christ and the church. Today, if you can get folks to become interested in the church, I mean really interested. Brother Kissel, a real good preacher friend of mine. Brother Kissel, he was a blessing to me. He's right. I worked. I've known nothing. I don't know how to start a mission other than real hard work. Brother Sexton, you do it all the time. If you're going to do something for the Lord, do it wholeheartedly.
Amen.
If you're not going to do it, don't start it.
Amen.
I told my son, he said, Dad, I took him to Bible college, and he stayed one day. He said, Dad, if I go down there, they're going to make a preacher out of me. I said, you don't have to do that. If God hasn't called you, don't you enter into no ministry, and don't you do what God hasn't called you to do, because you're going to be miserable all of your life. And there are a lot of miserable preachers today in this world. A lot of miserable Christians. When we ought to be the happiest people, we ought to be the joyous people, we ought to be the most fruitful people, because you know the truth, and we know the truth, and we need to tell to our children, we need to tell it to our family. How about Thursday? How about Thursday when you eat with all of your family? We're going to have 18. That's why I told Brother Jerry, I apologize for having to go home. When I preach in a conference, I try to stay the whole time. But this time we have 18. My grandchildren, boyfriends, girlfriends. We're going to have a house full. And so I have to go home. But we get to talk to our grandkids and the friends of the grandkids. And this one girl is not saved. And we hope that something will be said at the Thanksgiving dinner that will influence that girl's life.
Amen.
What are we there for? What are we here for? The church in Jerusalem and the church at Antioch of Syria,
Amen.
They were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, what should we be? What would we be like? To be a Christian is to be Christ-like.
Amen.
Am I correct?
Amen.
To be Christ-like. I have to confess that I'm not always Christ-like. I should be, but I have failed in my life. I made 1 or 2 mistakes in my life. After preaching for about 47 years, I must have made 1 or 2. And I've been called down on a few. But I always try to learn, and I always try to correct it, and I always try to go forward and do the things that's right. And so we realize. And these people at Jerusalem, they lost all interest in everything but the church, and everything that they did was about spirituality to Jesus Christ. Am I right? Sure, that's right. They did that. Christians today, we don't pray. And they prayed 10 days for God to bless them and to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And that's what's important, that we pray. I just think about, I wonder why the Grace Baptist Church has not been multiplied. Gee, they prayed for 10 days and 3,000 souls got saved. Acts chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4, many more thousand got saved. You think prayer works? I believe it works. I know it works. And we need to pray. And why wouldn't I pray for the members of the Grace Baptist Church in Holly, Michigan? And why wouldn't I pray for our brethren that has said to me today, I'm praying for you while you're preaching, and I'll be praying, and I prayed for everyone that has preached here, and I've enjoyed every message.
Amen.
But I haven't been blessed with that 3,000 souls being added to the church. And I haven't been blessed with those other 5,000, and it was already 120 in the first church. So I haven't been blessed. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe our members are not praying enough. It's possible. Now, God holds the key for salvation. If I'm faithful in preaching the word, then salvation is left to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the way God says it ought to be. And so we realize that. Okay. Now, when we think about these truths, we realize most people today want to divorce the church. They want to be a freelance Christian or a renegade Christian. We've had them in our church. We even had a man that came for a while, and I talked to him. I said, sir, I wish you would receive Christ. Or he said, oh, I'm already saved. I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. I said, you haven't joined the church. He said, I've already been baptized. I said, well, we can't accept your baptism. And so it wasn't very long until we had a motion made. And guess who seconded that motion? Do I need to tell you? He pops up and seconds the motion, or made the motion. Why don't you join the church? If God can save your soul, he can use you in the church.
Amen.
Why do you think he gave us apostles and pastors for the perfecting of the saints and the ministry and for all the things, the edifying of the church? That's why he gave us teachers and preachers.
Amen.
To encourage us. And him and his wife wouldn't even walk across the street or even come close to being baptized. Because I was baptized, church isn't there anymore. But he wouldn't be baptized. That don't sound like to me a Christian, but he wanted to make a motion. And so, you know, the people on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They were moved in the right direction, and they did the things that they should. Now, I realize that you cannot make people be faithful. I've learned that over a year. You cannot give Christians a job in the church and they'll be faithful to that job. Do you know today we live in a time when there is no conviction? I'm not talking about Jerry Asbury's church. I'm not talking about the Faith Baptist Church. I'm talking about my experience in 42 years of pastoring. There is no conviction. I'd rather go to a ball game. I'd rather play golf. I'd rather go fishing. I've got to work on my car. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. But they want the name on the church list, and they want to claim that they're saved.
Yeah.
I'm glad God does not tell me who's saved, and nobody is saved because of my agreement or disagreement. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits.
Amen.
That is one thing. I am a fruit inspector. And we all are. And if there is no fruit, I have to come to the conclusion that they don't know the same Lord that I know. And I know all churches have folks like that. Now, when Barnabas went down to Antioch of Syria, I personally believe that he organized that Gentile church, Antioch of Syria. When he went down there in Acts chapter 11, let's just read a few verses there, and I like what the scripture says. And I would hope that this is the thing that you might find at churches today. He says in verses 19 of Acts chapter 11, and we'll read it, he says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of those things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. I don't know how you see the grace of God except through our works and our service and our prayer, but he saw the grace of God in that church. And then it says, and was glad and exhorted them, or encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For it was good, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit, and all faith and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. Wow. What the Holy Spirit can do. Amen. And what the Holy Spirit done.
Amen.
And I'm praying in these days that we live in today. As long as Jesus Christ tarries, why can't we believe that God can work in our churches today?
Amen.
And do a stupendous job. He can. Okay. And he says in verses 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught the people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I believe that word means Christ-like. That's what they were called.
Amen.
It must have been their faith and practice that they did, and I think that's great. And so we realize that. And so I think it's great they were called Christians at Antioch. And God is not limited today. We may limit him, but God is not limited today in the Holy Spirit's conviction and imparting the spiritual birth.
Amen.
We need to remember it's God's work. And I tell my church, I'm only the Western Union boy. I'm only delivering the message.
Amen.
I haven't saved a soul yet, and I couldn't save myself if I had to.
Amen.
But I'm just delivering the message. What I want to do is deliver it the very best that I can.
Amen.
I want to humbly leave it to the Lord. Preach it as it is, tell it as it is, and let God's Holy Spirit do a work in the people's heart. And he has done some of that. And I'm hoping that he will continue to do so if I'm faithful. And so we realize, what did the first church do? Let's just back to Acts chapter 1. Well, the first church, I like to read verses... Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we realize the first church did something that we couldn't do. There'll never be another Pentecost. But we have the same God, and we have the same Holy Spirit, and we can do some things. Look at verse 14. It said, these all continued with one accord in prayer, Acts 1, 14, and supplication, and with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number being 120, and so he says, men and brethren, this scripture must be needs fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. Okay, now what did the church do? They had a business meeting, didn't they? And in this business meeting, they chose Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot. They were about the Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. Now I want to go to Acts chapter 2. I want to read this verse of Scripture. I want to read verses 40 and then 41. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this unregenerate generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there was added unto them about 3,000. Who's them? Why, the 120, right? Sure. They were added unto them. The church didn't start on Pentecost, did it? Absolutely not. The 3,000 was added to the 120. That made a great congregation, 3,120. I mean, God put them there. And I always like whom God puts in the church, because you know, he put them there for a reason.
Amen.
And then there was 4,000, 5,000 saved in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. So these are some of the truths that we realize today that's very important. And so thirdly, this evening, do you think we might receive power from God like they did on the day of Pentecost? We might not receive Pentecost power, but we can receive power from the Holy Spirit. God will give us power. I ask myself the question, Lord, is it because we're not praying? Is it because of sin in the camp? Lord, is it because of me that we're not seeing a great spiritual awakening in our village, in our country, in the United States? Is it possibly me? Could it be me? And you know, it's very important that we realize that there's something wrong today. Now, I know I'm going to baptize somebody Sunday night, but do you know how long it took me to convince this boy? 10 years. But I know he had a reason. He had an aneurysm in his brain. I talked to him. He said, come to me. And he said, you know, Pastor, he calls me his pastor. He said, I need to be baptized. I said, you sure do, Craig. I said, would you follow the Lord in baptism? He said, I'll be there Sunday. That was a year ago. He never came. He can't remember. But he's a great piano player. He's a great song leader. So last Sunday, he came to help them sing for Christmas carols. And at the end of the service, he came and said, I need to be baptized. I pray he's doing better with that aneurysm. I pray that he will be a great servant for the church. And so he realized things can happen by the power of God. And so the 120 in the upper room, and then we said a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 27, the Bible says, and Christ set the apostles first in the church. Very clear to me. Very clear.
Amen.
That I don't need to read anymore, but that's what God wanted to do, and that's what he did. Can we pay the price for this victory in our churches? God uses human instrumentality. Now, he doesn't use human instrumentality to save anybody, like some denominations teach. But God uses human instrumentality. Every officer in your church, every officer in the church that I pastor, is put there and should be put there by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Put there to serve.
Amen.
Put there to be an instrument in God's hands. To be used of God in either teaching or being an usher or whatever it might be for the glory of God. That first church, they put Christ and the church first in their life. They said, there's nothing important. I don't need to go back home. And I know that's supposition on my part. I don't need to go back to my country. I can stay right here and serve God. And they were steadfast. Where's the steadfast Christians today? They were steadfast and in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is great. I think doctrine is great. And fellowship. I love fellowship. I had some great fellowship during these sermons and these preachers. Some of them I never met before, but I had a great time of fellowship. And of course, of breaking of bread and of prayers. You know, we may not be a dynamic preacher. We may not be a dynamic Christian in the words of the world being dynamic, but we can pray.
Amen.
We can spend some time in prayer. When I think about those Christians in the book of Acts that prayed for 10 days, the 120 and to reap a harvest of 3,000, that's mind-boggling to me. I know God did it, sure. I know God had a purpose in it. It's not going to happen again. But just one or two, three or four every week would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. Some of these missionaries, Brother Draper, and you brother, you know those things. Wouldn't it be great? I love to read the mission sheets and read about missionaries working and seeing what they're doing. Yes, because you support them. Now, we need to pay the price for the victory that God could give us. I don't say that he's going to give me a victory because I say so. But I want to tell you that God uses human instrumentality. And I don't recommend that you sell your property and give it to the church, because God hasn't told us to do that. But you know, we ought to give a tithe and an offering. I say to my church, I say, you know, just suppose that up in heaven, there's a newspaper. I said, just suppose. I don't know if there is or not. But do you know what the headlines would be on Sunday morning? I'll tell you what the headlines would be. My children are robbing God. Now, that's supposition on my part. We'll give to God as long as we don't have something else that interests our mind. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about what my experience has been over a period of years. And people say, yes, I'll tithe. But when it comes right down to it, their tithe is just a pittance to the Lord. I really believe there's going to be repercussions when we stand before the Lord. If we stand before the Lord. Because it's so easy. What can I do? I cannot do if people don't tithe. I cannot do anything. If God doesn't take it into hand, oh, I know. I know exactly who tithes. And I know exactly who doesn't. Why do I know? Well, our system is I don't touch the money, but I touch the empty envelopes with the initial of the church treasurer and the church superintendent, and every envelope that gives money, there's initial right up on the corner, and the amount is down here. Sure, I know. Better yet, God knows. Yeah. And so how do we expect God to bless us if we're going to rob him? Yeah. That's been my problem for a number of years. I hope and pray that we might be like the churches of Macedonia. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians at Corinth, and this is what he says, of the great work of the Macedonian church. Now, the Macedonian church was poor people. I just think I'll read verse 1, too, down through verses 5. Notice what he says in verses 8, verses 1 through this verse of Scripture, verses 6. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, that beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Gave themselves first to the Lord. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, here's a church that's a very poor church. A very poor church. But they had time and money to send the Apostle Paul a love offering, a missionary doing a great work. I thank God for missionaries. We support missionaries. We try to support missionaries that we choose, and missionaries that we love in the Lord. And I was a missionary too. But as Brother Kissel told Brother Jerry, I didn't know he told him that, but I never got a nickel. I never got a penny. I was working. I had a good job. I never got a penny from anybody. I paid for the church sign that said the mission. I paid the rent on the mission hall. Do I regret it? Absolutely not.
Amen.
No, I'd do it again.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you how poor I was, because I wasn't. I'm not going to tell you how I suffered. I didn't. I'm not going to tell you how much I sacrificed. I didn't. But the Lord God of heaven gave it to us.
Amen.
And we got some nice buildings. Not as nice as this, but our buildings are sufficient.
Amen.
If it's warm, if it's dry, if it's cool in the summertime, it's good enough.
Amen.
You can worship God out under a tree in a tent if you want to.
Amen.
It's what's in here. Those Macedonian Christians first gave themselves to the Lord and then to Paul. And Paul was worthy. And I don't regret the way I started the work in Holly, Michigan. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Okay, fourthly and lastly, I don't even know how long I've preached. But anyway, fourthly and lastly, just think about the Christians, Antioch. They didn't think there was too much required of them. They didn't think it's too difficult to serve God.
Amen.
They didn't think, I can't do it. They did it by the help of the Holy Spirit of God and by the Lord. They did it. They didn't think it was too hard. People today in our area, I think I said over at Brother Sinich's conference, I preached there. I see that you got a worship center over there. That's what they're getting. You wouldn't believe in the little village that I live in. It's small. You wouldn't believe how many so-called churches today, the house of prayer, this and that, and you got it. And then the river came in, and they bought the junior high school. And then there's a worship center 5 miles away. They don't know what the gospel is.
Amen.
They don't know any of the doctrines of the Lord.
Amen.
And these people are going there and being deceived, along with the Jehovah's Witness, and on and on. I just pray God open my eyes that I might some way
Amen.
Rescue those folks. Some way teach the word to them. And knock on doors and do the best that I can. And so that's a sad day. You know, they didn't think it was too much of them to serve the Lord. And of course we realize faith and practice, how important faith and practice is.
Amen.
If we got faith, we need to put it to practice. Faith and practice.
Amen.
That is the Christian way. Serving the Lord. Okay. Now, faith and practice. Salvation by grace through faith. Has stood the test down through the quarters of time. We can go all the way back to Noah. And Noah walked with the Lord. Right?
Amen.
And the Bible said that Enoch walked with the Lord. He was not, for God took him. Faith and practice. Abraham was a great example. That's not to say that those people were perfect. That's not to say that they were the world's best example. But that's beside the point. God forgives us. Don't do it so God won't have to forgive you, but serve God. Faith and practice. Put it into practice.
Amen.
Put your feet to doing what your lips say. And that's the thing that we need to do as a Christian.
Amen.
We need to do that very clearly. I'd like to say a few things about Daniel. Well, you know, Darius came into being, and so his little leaders over Daniel or under Daniel, they didn't like him. They're jealous. You know, I've never had any axes to grind, and I'm not jealous of anybody that God is blessing. I'm not even jealous of the person that God is blessing, and he makes $150,000 a year, and he drives a Mercedes-Benz or a Cadillac. I'm not jealous of that man. If God blesses him, I thank him for doing that. But I want to say, certainly, that Daniel, they made a decree, and his enemies, and they said, "Oh, Darius, make sure that nobody asks a prayer for you for 30 days. And if he does, we'll throw him in the lion's den." Now, he was a Jew, but he was a converted Jew. And every day, three times a day, Daniel flung his window open and prayed. And the enemy saw him. He wanted them to see him. If you have God as your Savior, you shouldn't have any fear of what's going to happen to you.
Amen.
And he prayed. And as he prayed, well, of course, they said, "See, Darius, here's that little decree you made. Here's that little decree. And you signed it, O King." Okay.